You and I were born into a ready-made world. We had nothing to say about all the customs that we see around us. And when we're little children, wide-eyed with wonder, as our parents tell us what certain things are and what they mean, we simply believe what our parents tell us because we trust our parents and because we're little children. Remember the wonders of your very first Christmas, your very first Easter, your very first story about the Tooth Fairy, about Cinderella, about fairy godmothers? You remember the story, for example, about the witches and the goblins and the jack-o'-lanterns and the black cats and the mysterious threatening things at Halloween time? Now, if you were perhaps 2 to 3 years of age, the first time you really paid that much attention to the springtime festival called Easter in the Western world of professing Christianity, you probably, like most millions of people, remember vaguely things like little frilly pinafores for the girls and nice little suits with ties for the boys. You remember little black or white patent leather shoes. You remember being dragged off very early, groggy with sleep, maybe bundling up in the back seat of the car for a rather lengthy ride to the top of a nearby mountain, or maybe to a big outdoor pavilion, maybe the Rose Bowl, or maybe somewhere else, like, for example, even into a church. But it was about 4 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock, and you're on your way, and you get there to have an Easter sunrise service. Maybe you have memories of that, maybe not. Many millions of people, of course, really look forward to it because of all the gaily colored eggs, the little rabbits hopping around. I saw recently on one of the major television networks a little documentary they did from some place where they were, was it called Peepers or Peeps or something? They were little, I think, marshmallow chickies. Eventually, somebody came up with the idea, hey, you know, to really make this thing work, we've got to put some chickens in the picture because obviously rabbits don't lay eggs, and eventually the kids are going to ask us questions about that. And so it is just replete with all of these wonderful, nostalgic memories. Where did we get it? Where does it come from? What is the historical backdrop? I want to take a brief time out, let you see a brief few-minute documentary that will give you some of the most startling statistics and quotations out of some of the most eminent authorities on this earth today. Watch this. You're going to be amazed.
Held to be the most sacred of modern Christian observances, tens of millions worldwide attend Easter sunrise services in commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Included in their celebrations are the customs of Easter eggs and Easter rabbits. Where did this mixture of worship come from? The Catholic Encyclopedia says, the egg is the emblem of the germinating life of early spring. The custom may have its origin in paganism, or a great many pagan customs celebrating the return of spring gravitated to Easter. Still quoting, the Easter rabbit lays the eggs, for which reason they are hidden in a nest in the garden. The Catholic Encyclopedia goes on to say, the rabbit is a pagan symbol and has always been an emblem of fertility. Pagan custom is inextricably interwoven with the Easter observance. Why? And what does the word pagan mean? Once again, the Catholic Encyclopedia describes paganism as, quote, all religions other than the true one revealed by God. The symbolism of the fertile egg is not limited to Easter customs in modern Christianity. In fact, the underlying forms of sun and fertility worship run through every major religion of the world, including modern Christianity. From the practice of alchemy to the Eastern religions of Buddhism, Taoism, Shintoism, Hinduism, and the more ancient rituals of Egyptian, Greek, and Babylonian worship, the egg represents fertility and rebirth. The Encyclopedia Britannica notes, the name Easter is a survival from the old Teutonic mythology. It is derived from Oster or Ostara, the Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring. As confirmed by the authoritative Encyclopedia Britannica, there is no indication of the observance of the Easter festival in the New Testament or in the writings of the Apostolic Fathers. Why then do today's churchgoers attend Easter sunrise services, indulging children in the symbolism of rabbits and eggs, of hot cross buns, using these admittedly pagan fertility symbols in the worship of God, who roundly condemns such practices? The undisputed historical record shows that these customs, adopted by the Roman Emperor Constantine, come from the worship of the ancient mother goddess Ishtar, or Astarte. from which Easter takes its name. From Sir James Frazer in the critically respected work The Golden Bough, we read, the story is told through the myth and cult of Adonis, a god of the ancient Mediterranean whose annual death and resurrection was particularly associated with the death of nature in the autumn and its revival in the spring. Under the names of Osiris, Tammuz, Adonis, and Attis, the peoples of Egypt and Western Asia represented the yearly decay and revival of life. The true name of the deity was Tammuz. Tammuz, or his equivalent Adonis, originated and were created by a civilization which was afterward called Babylonian. In the religious literature of Babylonia, Tammuz appears as the youthful spouse or lover of Ishtar, Easter, the great mother goddess, the embodiment of the reproductive energies of nature. Tammuz is mentioned in Ezekiel 8, 13 through 14, along with a condemnation of the customs of sunrise worship and the customs associated with the worship of Tammuz. Frazer's Golden Bough reveals the great mother goddess of fertility and reproduction who is represented throughout history and throughout the world's great religions to have originated with the Babylonian goddess Ishtar or Astarte. Why is the undisputed historical record ignored by today's Christian leaders?
Behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched.
Call right now for your free copy of Should Christians Observe Easter? We'll also send this free audio cassette entitled 3 Days and Three Nights by Garner Ted Armstrong, free of charge. Dial 903-825-2525.
I want to tell you about that, not only that brochure, Should Christians Observe Easter, which gives you a lot of those same quotations and a lot of other information beside, but also a very intriguing book about the Passover. Is it for Christians? Commonly, because the New Testament speaks of communion as well as the Lord's Supper, most people tend to call it that, which is fine because that's exactly what it is. And you will see in this booklet that Jesus Christ of Nazareth gave an entirely new ceremony, perhaps 17 to 24 hours before he was put to death. That was the first time, never before, ceremony that no one had ever participated in before, that his disciples then came to understand that he was offering an addition to the usual Paschal feast that was a little sample of unleavened bread and a little bit of a sip of wine that he said symbolized his body and his shed blood. It was at about the same time of year. It was just at a specific date on the first month of the Jewish year, on the 14th of Nisan or Abib, and it was controversy over whether or not that custom ought to continue, or whether or not Ishtar, Ashtaroth, Astarte, Ostara, or Easter, as we say today, ought to eclipse this custom because of the tendency of the early New Testament church at the end of the first and the beginning of the second century to absolutely jettison anything and everything that had to do with Jewish. And that's all a matter of history, too. Now, in addition to the Passover booklet, Is It for Christians?, I want you to get a full sermon tape, a cassette tape, 3 days and three nights. And this is a mind-boggling concept, as I will show you in a moment. Because it says very clearly in Matthew 12:40 that Jesus Christ was going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And you cannot count that with a pencil or a computer from Good Friday sunset to Ishtar or Easter Sunday morning. No way. How do they get around it? They say it's part of one or the other. It's part of 3 days and part of three nights. Does that jive with what Jesus said as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the belly of, or the belly of the great fish? The great fish, a symbol then of the heart of the earth or the burial place of Jesus. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the tomb or the heart of the earth. And of course, the book of Jonah was written in Hebrew and was hardly a Greek idiom. And so many people go to seminaries to learn that Jesus didn't mean what he said when he said 3 days and three nights. And doesn't the Bible say that a day has 12 hours and a night has 12 hours? And the evening and the morning were the first day. The Hebrew word is yom. Well, of course it does. This explains it. And it shows you the truth about the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can have all three absolutely free of charge, if not for yourself, for your grandchildren, your children, to help combat some of the things, the nonsense that they learn sometimes in school as well as other places. The Passover, is it for Christians by any chance, or is it merely a Jewish celebration? The full sermon tape delivered before a live audience, about an hour 20 in length, about 3 days and three nights. And the brochure, Should Christians Observe Easter? It's 903-825-2525. That's 903-825-2525 for your free copy. Interesting scripture I want to go back to and give you a little bit that we didn't quote in the brief documentary you saw. It shows in the Bible how it becomes a real family custom. You know, that's the way it is with a lot of these customs today. With Easter, with Christmas, with New Year's, with April Fool's Day, with Groundhog's Day. I don't think the families do much about Groundhog's Day except see what the news says about whether or not the shadow was seen. But basically, Easter and Christmas are major family occasions. There are many people who will not darken the doors of churches except maybe twice in a year, and that's it. Easter and Christmas. Those are the 2 days that the wife usually will drag off hubby, and he will reluctantly go along and go to church on those days. This is a family occasion that we see in verse 17 of the 7th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. It comes in a passage of Scripture which is condemning this practice, in which God takes great issue with it. He says, do you see what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood. The kiddies are out gathering firewood. It's a lot of fun. Kiddies, go get the firewood. And it says that the fathers then stack, prepare, light, kindle the fire, and the women knead the dough. So the women are in their kitchen, you know, in their kitchens of that day, and they have these clay ovens and whatnot, and it's a family occasion, and the women are making something that the kids are very excited about. The kids are going to see these interesting little shapes. It's like when my granddaughter or my grandson would come over for pancakes, and they want me to make them a funny face pancake. So I'll make a pancake with a ring or a circle around it, or different shapes, one in the shape of a heart or something. The kids are delighted if you can make your little pancake batter do something really crazy, and the kids really enjoy eating that. That's not pagan. That's merely a funny face. This is pagan. It says they knead the dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. What were these cakes? Do you know, believe it or not, I'm going to share something out of ancient history with you. The ancient word in the Nordic and the Central European tongues, in the old Germanic language, the origin of the English language for the oxen, was B-O-U-S, boos. But it became shortened to the word boon. Or we have the English word bun that does not come from dough or a cake or a cookie or the ingredients that are in it at all, but because they made cakes to Horus and they made cakes to the symbol of the ox, which was Tammuz or Taurus, the bull, and these cakes had a symbol on it from the ancient solar wheel, which was a cross. And so they were made with an X of sugary substance on the top of them. And there are also others, like, for example, in the French language, the word for crescent is croissant. Ever eat any? The only reason they make them in that shape is to preserve the idea of the crescent moon. So you get croissants, you know, in any kind of a restaurant usually today. Most people don't know that. So here is a scripture in the Old Testament that shows it was a family occasion. And the kids were out gathering the fire and the wood, and the fathers were kindling the fire, and the mother was making the dough, making it in the shape of a hot cross bun. And that's the origin of the hot cross bun. Now, it was fascinating to me to see that the Catholic Encyclopedia, as you saw in that little documentary, they said, and I quote, "The Easter rabbit lays the eggs, for which reason they are placed in a nest." Well, of course, they're doing it as they're saying it, almost like it is, you know, explaining the mythology, explaining the tradition, explaining the fanciful notions of pagan people. So they're not really saying that they would really be taken aback if I thought the writer of the article thought that rabbits laid eggs, and obviously hadn't been around rabbits very often. But at least it's put in such a strange way that it gives one pause. You have to look at that about twice to wonder, what did he really mean by that? Well, rabbits don't lay eggs, so why do we have the symbols? The only question you need to ask yourself is that if there is a God, and if there isn't, none of this makes any difference. But if there is a God, and God Almighty condemns these customs of people going around eating fertility symbols, actually ingesting eggs and cakes made in a certain way, which come from ancient paganism. Now, if there is a God, hey, forget it. Matter of fact, if there is no God, you know, you've got no reason to watch this program because you're listening to somebody who believes with all of his being and all of his heart, and who has proved it and demonstrated it in college classrooms by completely dismantling the entirety of the empty, bovine, stupid theory of evolution and demonstrating scientifically, as well as from the Bible, from history, from fulfilled prophecy, from answered prayer, from stratigraphy, from the geologic succession of strata, from the law of biogenesis, from all other laws of science and natural physical sciences, that there is a divine, eternal, all-wise creator, God, who gives us the Bible, the Word of God, which is his handbook from the Creator to the created to tell us what we are, why we're on the earth, and how we ought to live life. Why are people so caught up in symbolism, mysticism, the occult, witchery, and all kinds of weird symbols? As long as you got that, it seems like people are really interested. But the plain, unvarnished truth of God, the simple truth of God, the pure truth of God from the Word of God, people usually don't want to have much to do with that. But if you can show them eggs and rabbits and all kinds of symbols of procreation and rapid procreativity, oh man, that's exciting. Let's eat that little chocolate bunny. Let's eat that little sugary egg. And now a new thing's appearing on the scene in the neighborhoods. People are going out now and hanging plastic or other whatever they're made of, eggs on naked trees. Now we got egg trees all over the country, and they're coming in. I don't know how in the world the rabbits climb up there and lay those eggs on a, anyway, you know, it's, they will go to any lengths to try to perpetuate myths. By the way, before I take another quick break, what did your parents tell you when your first little baby tooth came out? Mine didn't, but what did your parents tell you? Tooth fairy, right? What happened? You know, sometimes dad or mom sneak in there and take out the little tooth and stick a quarter or a dollar bill under the pillow, but don't let me disillusion anybody. If you still believe in a tooth fairy, you've got every right to do it. Let's take a quick time out, and I'll just be right back.
Held to be the most sacred of modern Christian observances, tens of millions worldwide attend Easter sunrise services in commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Included in their celebrations are the customs of Easter eggs and Easter rabbits. Where did this mixture of worship come from? The Catholic Encyclopedia says, "The egg is the emblem of the germinating life of early spring. The custom may have its origin in paganism, for a great many pagan customs celebrating the return of spring gravitated to Easter." Still quoting, "The Easter rabbit lays the eggs, for which reason they are hidden in a nest in the garden." The Catholic Encyclopedia goes on to say, "The rabbit is a pagan symbol and has always been an emblem of fertility. Pagan custom is inextricably interwoven with the Easter observance. Why? And what does the word pagan mean?" Once again, the Catholic Encyclopedia describes paganism as, quote, "all religions other than the true one revealed by God." The symbolism of the fertile egg is not limited to Easter customs in modern Christianity. In fact, the underlying forms of sun and fertility worship run through every major religion of the world, including modern Christianity. From the practice of alchemy to the Eastern religions of Buddhism, Taoism, Shintoism, Hinduism, and the more ancient rituals of Egyptian, Greek, and Babylonian worship, the egg represents fertility and rebirth. The Encyclopedia Britannica notes, "The name Easter is a survival from the old Teutonic mythology. It is derived from Oster or Ostara, the Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring. As confirmed by the authoritative Encyclopedia Britannica, there is no indication of the observance of the Easter festival in the New Testament or in the writings of the Apostolic Fathers. Why then do today's churchgoers attend Easter sunrise services, indulging children in the symbolism of rabbits and eggs, of hot cross buns, using these admittedly pagan fertility symbols in the worship of God, who roundly condemns such practices? The undisputed historical record shows that these customs, adopted by the Roman Emperor Constantine, come from the worship of the ancient mother goddess Ishtar, or Astarte, from which Easter takes its name. From Sir James Frazer in the critically respected work The Golden Bough, we read, the story is told through the myth and cult of Adonis, a god of the ancient Mediterranean whose annual death and resurrection was particularly associated with the death of nature in the autumn and its revival in the spring. Under the names of Osiris, Tammuz, Adonis, and Attis, the peoples of Egypt and Western Asia represented the yearly decay and revival of life. The true name of the deity was Tammuz. Tammuz, or his equivalent Adonis, originated and were created by a civilization which was afterward called Babylonian. In the religious literature of Babylonia, Tammuz appears as the youthful spouse or lover of Ishtar, Easter, the great mother goddess, the embodiment of the reproductive energies of nature. Tammuz is mentioned in Ezekiel 8:13-14, along with a condemnation of the customs of sunrise worship and the customs associated with the worship of Tammuz. Frazer's Golden Bough reveals the great mother goddess of fertility and reproduction, who is represented throughout history and throughout the world's great religions, to have originated with the Babylonian goddess Ishtar or Astarte. Why is the undisputed historical record ignored by today's Christian leaders?
Behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched.
Call right now for your free copy of Should Christians Observe Easter? We'll also send this free audio cassette entitled 3 Days and Three Nights by Garner Ted Armstrong, free of charge. Dial 903-825-2525.
I want you to get all three of these items, so just mention the items that are displayed here that are advertised on this program to the operators when you call. They'll know exactly what you mean. You don't need to memorize all those lengthy titles. The Passover is for Christians, also the sermon tape, about an hour 20 in length, about 3 days and three nights. 903-825-2525. Absolutely free of charge, no price, no obligation. Nobody calls on you. It's free of charge, believe me. Now, good question here. What about that business of Madonna and Child that goes back thousands of years before Christ? What do we mean by putting all of that together and letting you see the gradual metamorphosis from the most ancient religions that showed Madonna and Child all the way down to the time of Christ himself? We're not suggesting at all that Jesus Christ and his mother Mary have anything remotely to do with paganism. What we are saying is that Satan, the devil, very cleverly paved the way long prior to the emergence of true Christianity, long prior to the advent of the Messiah on this earth, with numerous Madonnas and Child in many of the pagan religions of the world, because it all had to do with fertility rites and with the worship of life. You know, the pagans knew where life came from. They knew where babies came from. They weren't stupid. They didn't put in an application and then go down to the office and hand it in and wait for the stork to come. And in their pagan mythological superstition, they thought these various gods of the rain, the forest, the thunder, the mountain, or the great coyote, or whatever, gave them these babies. So in their stupidity, every now and then they would decide they had to give one back. That's why some of the cisterns in Central America and some of the customs that we see among some of these savage tribes included human sacrifice. And archaeologists have discovered the tragic evidence of little tiny bones of little baby girls that were thrown into rain pools and these cisterns and wells that were supposed to be a sacred well to appease the gods of the rainforest, when these pagans were giving back a part of the life with which they had been blessed. So these pagan customs that were practiced by many of the heathen, including some of those that Israel was to expel from their land when they came into the promised land, were so abominable that they would sacrifice their children to the fires. Horrible practices, even to the point of infant sacrifice, accompanied some of the sex and fertility rituals and the worship of sex, the worship of recreation, of productivity, of the symbols of the sex act itself that were worshipped by these people, and God condemned every bit of it. So it makes you wonder, what in the world are we doing in the so-called Christian world with all of the same ancient symbols that were worshipped by pagan Babylonians, Akkadians, Sumerians, Egyptians, Romans, Greeks, and all the others, eating an egg, eating a little chocolate bunny, going off to bow with our backs toward the temple in Jerusalem and our faces toward the east because the sun rises in the east, and having an Easter. You know, the letter I can be pronounced either I or I or E. And the H in many words in the English language is silent. I-S-H-T-A-R, Ishtar, was not pronounced Ishtar, it was pronounced Easter. Where do we get Easter? Is it the opposite of Wester? Come on, I mean, you probably never looked it up. I will almost guarantee you that most of you people that have watched these two different repetitions of this brief documentary with these quotations from some of the most eminent authorities on the subject, the Catholic Encyclopedia, the Encyclopedia Britannica, and other very eminent history books, have never in your life gone to the library shelves, turned to the article Easter, looked it up, and read what it said. Now, have you? Most people don't. Because, as I said at the beginning of the program, you and I were born into a ready-made world. It was all lying there, ready and prepared for us. Education is that attempt by the older generation to instill its philosophies, its perversions of history, its racism, its nationalism, its preconceived opinions and ideas, its sociology, its prejudices into the mind of its youths. You and I were told all these things when we were youngsters. But did you ever look into it to prove it to yourself one way or the other? Get every one of these items. They're free of charge, no price. Should Christians observe Ishtar or Easter, as it's pronounced today? The Passover. Is there something there that Jesus Christ says we should observe? Is there something there that the Bible has for us? And also the tape on 3 days and three nights. It's free of charge, no price for all three. If you will dial 903-825-2525. That's 903-825-2525, or you can write to me, Gunner Ted Armstrong, Box 2525 in Tyler, Texas. The zip is 75710. And I'll see you right here, same time, in 1 week.
For free literature and tapes, Australian listeners should write to Gunner Ted Armstrong, Post Office Box 525, Cessna, New South Wales, 23251.